What we're seeing right now in Gaza, beyond the humanitarian catastrophe that's unfolding right now, we're also expecting to see the effects of it in the long term, because as more and more time passes without access to nutritious food, without clean water, the state of the sanitary facilities and the lack of it, actually, we're expecting to see a lot of diseases come up and spread. And given that people are not eating enough food and they're not having enough nutrition to sustain them, they will be more susceptible to these diseases spreading more widely. People will have weakened immune systems because they're not consuming enough food to help them in the face of all the challenges that they're facing right now, especially that winter is coming, especially that now we're seeing a lot of rain and people do not have the basic necessities that will protect them or shield them from the diseases that can spread.
And what's the WFP role to help those people to overcome these issues?
The food that's entering in through Rafah at the moment is barely 10% of the food needs of the entire population. And we know that the food systems inside Gaza are collapsing. So there's no longer any food left in stores, barely any food left in stores. There's very little, and it's being sold at increasingly high prices. And it's not even the essential food commodities anymore because these have disappeared. The bakeries have shut down. So while we are trying to get in as much food as possible, we're also focusing on making sure that this food is as nutritionally dense as possible. So we began distributing those WFP date bars that are nutritionally condensed. They're fortified with vitamins and minerals, so then we can try to make sure that people are getting as much caloric intake that they need as possible. Soon we will also be distributing complementary feeding for pregnant women and for babies to make sure that, you know, it's at least offering complementary support for their nutrition. And unfortunately, for the rest of the population that are also increasingly vulnerable to these cases of malnutrition, we're relying on canned food, we're relying on dates, we're relying on bread, we're trying to rehabilitate the production of bread, but we are aware that it is still very limited. So we have a team of nutritionists who are trying to design a food basket that would meet as much of the nutritional needs of people in Gaza, but with all the challenges, the fact that they can't cook, there's no fuel or cooking gas for them to cook, the fact that there's no clean water that they can cook with is also a very big challenge.
Speaking of Rafah crossing, have WFP and its partners been able to send any assistance to Gaza through this vital crossing today, this week, or can you tell us more about that?
Yes, so actually, since the beginning of the Rafah crossing on October 21, WFP has entered more than 70 trucks of food aid. That's more than 1,000 metric tons of food that have reached more than 500,000 people. If we look at the bigger picture in terms of food needs, I think the last figure was over 400 trucks specifically related to food have entered into Gaza since October 21. But compared to what used to go in before, and compared to how much food is needed to meet the needs of the entire population, which, by the way, the entire population of Gaza is now in need of food assistance. We're talking 2.2 million people. And so the trucks that have went in are a good first step, but you know, as we've been saying before, it's nowhere near enough. And now more than ever, we need to make sure that there's a steady flow going in at a huge scale, not at the scale that is happening right now.
Amid the ongoing fighting, what does WFP need the most right now in order to be able to assist the people in Gaza?
Well, first and foremost, we need to make sure that the access into Gaza is scaled up significantly. We need to make sure that we can get supplies in from any way possible. So if one border crossing is not enough, we need to explore other options as well. We need safe access inside Gaza so that this food, you know, once it crosses, it can be distributed and it can actually reach people wherever they are across Gaza. And also, without fuel and without connectivity, without cooking gas, these efforts, you know, our hands are tied because without fuel, the trucks can't move. The mills can't grind wheat. The bakeries can't bake bread. And life will come to a standstill. So essentially, these are the most important needs.